This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
I would invite you to turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. We'll be looking at the paragraph that involves verses 15 through 20. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. And while you're turning there, let me pose a question. Is it possible to have Christianity without Christ? Now, our immediate response to that question would be, of course not. Can't be done. But if you go back and study church history, even recent church history, you will find there are some professing Christians who would say yes to that question. They would say it is possible that Jesus Christ would not be regarded necessarily as Savior or Lord, but nevertheless, the precepts that we read in Scripture are Christian precepts, and therefore, yes, we can't have Christianity without Christ. I would suggest that even in this kind of gathering, in evangelical circles, on a very practical level, it is possible to attempt to be Christians without paying much attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be that Jesus is our Savior, but beyond that, we just kind of take Him for granted. And He really is not the focal point of our very existence. Let's bring it close to home. CIU has five core values, all of which I strongly affirm: world evangelization, prayer and faith, authority of Scripture, the victorious Christian life, and evangelical unity. I would like to suggest that perhaps we ought to have a sixth, and that sixth core value would be Christocentrism, Jesus Christ at the very center, the very focus of everything that we do in our faith. Paul wrote this letter to the church at Colossae. He himself had never been to that church, but he had some connections with that church. And he was aware of a heresy that was being taught there. Scholars have pondered exactly the nature of that heresy, without really naming it specifically necessarily. Paul in chapter 2 refers to it as a hollow and deceptive philosophy. But what this heresy did was minimize the person of Jesus Christ. It did not deny Him, but it dethroned Him. It did not deny Him, but it dethroned Him. And so my appeal this morning is that as a biblical university and as individual members of this community, we need to pursue maintaining Christocentric Christianity. As we think about that this morning, I want to pose a question, a primary question. Why is it so important that we maintain Christocentric Christianity? That's the question I want us to consider as far as the global message this morning is concerned. Why is it so important that we maintain Christocentric Christianity? And in order to answer that question, I want to raise three secondary level questions. The first of those secondary level questions is this: does the unique identity of Christ demand that we focus on Him? Does the unique identity of Christ demand that we focus on Him? Let's look at this passage together, and then we will move into answering that question. We read, beginning in verse 15 of Colossians 1, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Note the uniqueness in this text of Christ's identity. It says in verse 15 that he is the exact image of God, the exact image of God. The word here is icon. An icon is a picture, a representation. And in this case, it's really even more than a representation. It's the very manifestation of who God is. A few verses later, it talks about it pleasing the Father to allow the fullness of God to dwell in Jesus Christ. But he is the icon, the representation of God. It is as though God, the master artist, painted a self-portrait, and it looks just like Jesus. In fact, you may recall shortly before his death, he was speaking with his disciples in what we call the upper room discourse. And Jesus told Philip, who asked, "Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be sufficient for us." And you remember Jesus' response, "Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father." You see, his identity is full deity, no less. Furthermore, he's the firstborn over all creation. It doesn't mean he was the first thing created. This word has nothing to do with chronology. It has to do with rank. It means that he is ranked over all of creation. This unique identity of Jesus draws us to him. It ought to draw us to him. And so I would ask you this morning, do you have a sense of being constantly drawn to Jesus? Is he the magnet that causes your attention to be focused on him? Does his unique identity demand that we focus on him? And of course, the answer to that secondary question is yes. Yes, it certainly does. And then we come to a second secondary question. Do the unique works of Christ demand that we focus on him? We've talked about his identity. Now let's talk about his works. Do they demand that we focus on him? Keep in mind, according to this passage, he is the one who created all things. He created all things, both material and immaterial. Furthermore, he is the one who holds creation together. Through him, all things cohere. We could translate that verse 17. You see, because of him, we have a cosmos instead of a chaos. He is both maker and maintainer of creation. Furthermore, as we read in verse 18, he is the head of the church, his body. The head of the church, his body. You know, we live in a culture where some folks would want to say yes to Jesus and no to the church. But that's an impossibility because he is the head of the church. The church is his bride. He gave his life for his bride. And if we say no to the church, in reality, we're saying no to Christ himself. And furthermore, as we see in the last part of verse 18, he has demonstrated for us that death is dead. Death is dead. You see, these works of Jesus should cause us to be amazed as we ponder both who he is and what he has done. Are you amazed when you contemplate Jesus, or do we just go through the motions? Do his unique works demand that we focus in on him, make him central in our lives? And again, the answer is yes. Let me pose a third secondary question, and it is this. Does the saving work of Christ demand that we focus on him? Does the saving work of Christ demand that we focus on him? Verse 20 says, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Note the uniqueness of the salvation that the Lord Jesus brings to us. It brings reconciliation. By nature, we are separated from God, and something had to be done to bring us again into fellowship with holy God, because we were sinful people. And Jesus Christ himself performed that part of salvation that we call reconciliation. And because of that reconciliation, we have peace with God. And we need to be reminded that that peace and that reconciliation came through his death. The gospel is astounding when we pause long enough to really plumb it and consider its depths. How astounding that saving gospel of Jesus is. When you consider that the great creator of Genesis chapter 1 is the babe in the manger in Matthew chapter 1. When you consider that he who made and owns all things during his earthly sojourn had no place to lay his head. When you think about the exalted Lord praised in the Psalms, and this exalted Lord stoops and washes the disciples' feet. The coming king promised by the prophets. This coming king is the crucified Christ. And yet the one cruelly put to death on the cross is the resurrection and the life. It's amazing. This gospel planned in the mind of God before the foundations of the world. Do you continue to be grateful for your salvation in Christ? Does the saving work of Christ demand that we focus on him? And of course, the answer is yes. And so I return to our primary question. Why is it so important to maintain Christocentric Christianity? I think the answer to that question is seen in the words of Paul in verse 18. So that in all things, he might have the preeminence. So that in all things, he might have the supremacy. Let me ask you, is Jesus Christ your personal core value? Is he really the focal point of this thing we call Christianity in your personal experience? My charge to all of us this morning, kind of a final charge, is to keep Christ central. Keep him in focus as the very heartbeat of our relationship to God Almighty. Keep him central so that in all things he might have the preeminence. God bless you.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore. or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.